Do you cast all your cares on him? Is that a fair question to ask this morning? Is I know there's a lot of things that a lot of people are, you know, it's the last weekend of summer. It's the first weekend before school, depending on how you look at it. And it's a lot of burdens. There's some child out there that I'm sure is convinced they don't have the right clothes for Tuesday. They're not going to look right. They've got burden. You got a parent who's probably struggling because their baby's going to kindergarten. How'd that happen? I've got two going to junior high. How'd that happen? A lot of different burdens. I know there's a, I'm not going to name names, but I know there's a big barbecue thing happening right now, and there's a burden of, will it get done? Will it get done? I'm not, Pat, I wasn't even expecting you to shake your head. I was worried more about Scott. You know? Speaking of barbecue, there is a shindig. Can we call it a shindig? Is that a good word? Happening at the Shrunk's house, and I got a sample some of what will be cooked there. I can just say, if you need more reason to go, there's going to be some good food. So, I want to start off this morning. Actually, we're going to do things a lot differently this morning. We're going to take a small break from the Book of John. And got a couple things that we need to do, I think. First one I want to bring up is that this is the first of the month. And in some churches, depending on the church, first of the month, communion, usually a part of that, will come to the table at the end. The other thing that we do here, and I'm not sure if you're fully aware of this, I know some are very faithfully, but there is a special fund that we have called the Barnabas Fund. Barnabas was an encourager. We're going to talk a little bit about encouraging this morning, but Barnabas was an encourager, and so the Barnabas Fund is money that is given above and beyond any other kind of offering. It's not a pushed offering. It's not, we don't pass plates for this offering. It is out there. Usually the focus is, at least it should be, first of the month. We look at it first of the month, but really you can give to the Barnabas Fund any time. But the point of the Barnabas Fund, though, is that that money is then used when we have an immediate need. We just need to get, you know, taken care of. Somebody needs a little help, and there it is. And so lots of different uses. It's the idea would be to encourage others with it. More often than not, that money is just simply, it's collected, and then when the need comes up, we figure it out. We look at it and go, okay, this is what we got. Let's do something with it. Today, I'm going to propose one slight change to the Barnabas Fund for today, for this week. We have a family in need, and I realize when I say that, we have lots of families in need, and you need to let me know that. But we have one family that's in need, and I wasn't sure exactly how to approach it, but I talked with the head of the household, and so let him know that this is going to happen. But talking about the kid family, and Chris, if you're not aware, Chris inconvenienced me greatly by having emergency surgery during my vacation, and he did. Seriously, he had some emergency surgery, and because of this surgery, he's been restricted to not picking up more than, what, half a bag of rice, right? I mean, 15 pounds or something like that. And if you know Chris's job, the job he gets paid for, if you know Chris's job, 15 pounds is nothing. That means Chris is out of work for a month. And if you know Chris's story, there's been some blessing in terms of insurance and things like that, but insurance only covers the medical side of things. It doesn't cover that half a bag of rice. And so what we're going to be doing this morning, I want you to be aware of this particular morning, that any money that is put into the Barnabas Fund this morning will be going straight to the kid household. And I say this also because I want to be an encouragement to Chris. I'm not sure if you're fully aware of this either, but Chris is also our junior high leader for our junior high youth. And he doesn't get paid for that, but that's the hardest job he has. And this is just an opportunity for us to say thank you, to encourage him. We're at the beginning of the school year. What better time to do this? I'm sorry that it had to be done under this circumstance, though. So if you would like, I just want to make sure you're aware of, there is a box that's sitting out there. It is out there every week. It says Barnabas Fund on it. It's a beautiful box. I'm not sure where the box came from. It's beautiful. And I think it serves a great purpose there in this. And so I just want to make sure that you're aware of that. And in fact, Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much for this morning. And Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we lift up the kid family to you, Lord. And Father, I pray for Chris. I pray that there is healing. Father, I pray that there is peace within the household. And Father, if there's anything that we can do to encourage him, Father, I pray that you would lay that on our heart in such a way that, Lord, we cannot deny what you're calling us to do. Father, I do thank you for this time this morning. And Father, as we look a bit at encouraging, as we look at, well, Lord, we're going to look at prayer. Father, I pray, Lord, that we hear what it is that you have to say. We give this all to you in your glory, your power, all praise due. Amen. So like I said, we're going to take a break from it, and we're going to go a little bit topical. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to do more than just talk about it, but just to start off, I have questions. I always have questions for you. So my question is this: how often do you pray? Maybe I should ask, what's your motive to pray? Okay, obviously we come to prayer in moments of crisis. Perhaps maybe you come to prayer because you're just trying to get to sleep. Maybe it's when something amazing happens. Maybe it's at the beginning of a meal. I never understood praying at the beginning of the meal. I've shared this before. Are we praying that something wasn't cooked wrong? I mean, what are we praying? You know, well, of course, we're thanking God for the meal, right? But it's always kind of a funny thing. Dear Lord, please don't kill me with this meatloaf. And we would never say that out loud. Well, I might. It's meatloaf. But no, we pray meals. Bedtime's a good time to pray. You know, we tuck the kids in and we pray. Maybe you pray because you just got an email from Wilma. I know that pushes me to prayer every time. The question is, what motivates you to pray? Do you set aside a specific time to pray? It's not to say that you only pray during that time, but do you have a special time, a time that's just that, you know, I'm going to spend this time in prayer? And then the next question is, how easily is that time interrupted or interruptible? I mean, how far removed do you get yourself so that maybe those things don't happen? Billy Graham, I love Billy Graham's stories, and Billy Graham's known as the pastor to the presidents, and he has prayed with more presidents probably than any pastor on the face of the earth. And one of the things he also does is he's done many, many inaugural prayers. But there's one particular story that's shared of Billy Graham's ministry to the presidents concerning President Nixon, and this was in particular during that scandalous moment, right? And as Nixon was in panic, Nixon called Billy Graham to talk to Billy Graham, and he got Billy Graham's secretary. And the secretary told the president, "Mr. Graham is not to be interrupted. Can I take a message?" The president then informed her that one does not take a message from the president, one answers the phone. And the secretary then informed her, "You do not understand. I have been given instruction not to interrupt Mr. Graham during this time. He will call you back at his earliest convenience." And that's where the message was left. 3 hours later, Billy Graham returns the phone call to the president. The president is irate. "What could you have possibly been doing that was so important that you do not pick up the phone to talk to me, the President of the United States?" And Billy said, "I was in my prayer time, and I was praying for you." There was silence. Probably the only time Nixon was ever silent and should have been. Billy Graham has an incredible prayer life. Billy Graham is an incredible man. Billy Graham will be the first person to tell you that he's not. There's just something special, though, about having a prayer time and saying, "I'm not going to allow it to be interrupted, no matter what." Quick little side note. Somebody, I don't know who does this, but somebody went and looked at all of Billy Graham's prayers for the presidents at the inauguration. And when it came to Nixon, and this is all before Nixon's scandal, keep in mind, he prayed nearly twice as many words for Nixon as he did for any other president. Perhaps Billy knew something was coming. The second most prayed for president in an inauguration was Bill Clinton. Interesting. I don't know. I'm not going to go political. I just thought that was interesting. This morning, I'm not going to give you a seven-step program on a better prayer life. See, that's been done before, and if it worked, we wouldn't have to have this conversation at all. We're going to have this conversation about prayer. What I want to do this morning is truly consider all the whens and the hows and the whys we pray. For me to say that prayer is important would probably be the biggest duh statement that I could ever give from up here. Prayer is important, but the reality is we, and by the way, let me define we for a moment. That's you and me, okay? So please don't take this as a you sermon. This is a me sermon too. We don't pray enough. We really don't. I think that we could pray 24 hours a day, and we'll talk about that too, but it still wouldn't be enough. There's never a point in time in your life where you can honestly step back and say, you know what, I think I prayed enough today. I think I'm good. Doesn't happen. That's the beauty of prayer. But we don't. We don't pray enough. And so, and because we think, well, I can't ever pray enough, maybe we even give up on prayer. And I will say that real quick, if you do think you pray enough, start praying because you're not. Prayer should be an act of love. Prayer should be a labor. And here we are. We're on Labor Day, right? And the labor that we as Christians should have is prayer. It should be a burden that just tells us we've got to go to prayer. Everything that happens, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, take it to prayer. It shouldn't just be relegated to the beginning of a service, the end of a service, a prayer meeting, convenient moments, right? These are all good places. In fact, they're good places to be praying in between the times that we're praying. I mean, it's a constant thing. Now, when we talk about prayer, and I talk about praying 24 hours, you know, of course, most people know this verse, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Some people, maybe you don't know where it is. Now you do. That's important. But pray without ceasing. We've heard this verse before, and have you ever wondered, honestly, how are you supposed to do this? I mean, what does that even mean? How do I pray without ceasing? Do I literally stop doing everything else and just pray? I shouldn't work. I shouldn't eat. I shouldn't sleep. Because the Bible says, pray without ceasing. I can't stop. We should just be completely, I guess, addicted to prayer. One particular old school theologian said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'll quote him fully later, but that prayer should be as natural as breathing. But he goes on to say, a man without breath is like a man without prayer. You're dead. We're kind of all Lazarus-like, if you will. We've been talking about Lazarus for a while. I thought what we probably should do is we should probably look at these verses in context. I'm not actually going to put them up there this morning. I'm just going to read from my Bible. But if you want to, open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And maybe a quick little bit of history as far as this letter to the church of Thessalonica. Paul is writing to a young church. They're an excited church. If you could sum up his letter, it's pretty much this. Time is short. You know, Christ is coming. There's a lot to do. Don't stop. Don't lose the excitement, if you will. Keep going. Don't forget the mission. In fact, what's interesting is Paul ends what we call each chapter, but really each thought that he has in this letter, he ends it with talking about the simple fact is that Christ is coming back. And once that happens, none of this other stuff will happen again. We're done. So we're ultimately are in this big race, right? But he ends his first letter to this church, and we're going to actually start in verse 11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. He's not saying, hey, you need to stop doing whatever you're doing and start encouraging one another. He says, you're already doing it. Keep doing it. Don't stop. The word that I'm going to give you right now, and I want you to hear this word all the way through this, is always. Okay? He is saying to continue to do this. Always. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Take your leaders. And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with them all. The root in there again? Always. They're frustrating you. Be patient. No, you don't understand my kid. Be patient. You don't understand the thing. Be patient. When? Somebody tell me. When? Always. Thank you. I'm glad somebody's listening. So, always. Now listen, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. If you ever stop, why does Paul even have to say this? This should be a given, right? He's saying there's no revenge. No matter how much somebody messed you over, you don't give it back to them. Okay? People like to talk about karma. Karma does not exist. Okay? There is no such thing as karma. What there is you either are good or you're not. Be good, don't be good. Pick one. Paul says, be good. It's a reprimand. Be good. Do not, but what? Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Seek. You do it. I shouldn't have to paint a picture for you. Shouldn't have to give you, just seek it. You know what? It is not hard to find someone to do good for if you open your eyes. Rejoice. Always. Pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. It's a fancy way of saying always. Pray always. Give thanks in all circumstances. So give thanks when? Always. For this is the will of God. People ask the question, we'll even explore it this morning. How do I know the will of God? Well, let's back up. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. You got it. Now he gets into some do nots. These do nots are always as well. You could say, always do not. Okay? So, always do not quench the Spirit. Somebody's coming to you. They're coming to encourage you. They're coming to do good. Don't stop them. Don't stop them. Do not despise prophecy, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Paul's like, just in case you forgot the whole don't do evil, you got to stay away from evil. And when you stay away from evil, then you're not doing evil. And if you're not doing evil, then you're not repaying evil. You're just staying away from it. Now, he gives this big prayer. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, set you apart, that he may completely and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, because he's coming back. Just as sure as I talk about Easter is coming, more so Jesus is coming. He who calls you is faithful. When it says that, he who calls you is faithful, you can put in there, it's intended, always. God is always faithful. There's never a moment God is not faithful. He will surely do it. That means always. Brothers, pray for us. We're going to do that this morning. Greet all brothers with a holy kiss. Original language, handshakes work. No, just saying. No. It means to greet one another intimately, to be right there. I put you under oath. Jesus said some pretty strong things about oaths. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't take an oath unless you're going to keep it. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. We're reading it now. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, comma, always. There's something about what Paul is saying here. He's saying always. Always seek good. Always rejoice. Oh, but man, you don't know what happened. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Pray. Pray when? Pray always. Give thanks. Win. Always. Do not do those other things. Win. Always. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing life transformation. Maybe I need to write a book. I will call it Always. And then I'll open it up and I will say Always. And that will be the book. Just always do it. There's never a break. There's never a pause. There's no vacation. I just got done from a vacation. There's no vacation from these things. There's never a moment in life where you can say, well, this one doesn't apply. Really. That one. Whatever that one is, doesn't apply. No, always. But what I want to do this morning is not, we're not going to focus on the rejoice, we could. I'm not going to focus on the give thanks, we could. I'm going to just focus on prayer itself. When do we do it? According to this, when do we do it? Always. Well, where do we do it? Well, if we're supposed to do it wherever, or we're supposed to do it always, then we end up doing it wherever we are. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? It means wherever you are, you're praying. Let your life be a prayer. Let your words be prayers. Let your actions be prayers. In fact, why not, wherever you're at, just actually pray? Do you know how awkward it is to stand somewhere and just start praying? Do you know how much God loves it? Always. Now, I knew before I went on vacation, I want to share a little bit of my journey to this, because I knew before I went on vacation that I was going to come back and I was going to talk about prayer. I was actually going to talk about prayer in a very small way. God has other plans. My main focus was that we're coming up on a very important prayer event, one that's very close to my heart, and that's CEO at the Pole. The first CEO at the Pole happened in the year of 1990. That was my senior year. I remember gathering around the flagpole at my school and praying for the first time in 1990. It was an incredible moment. See at the Pole, what it is a, it's a nationwide, it's a worldwide, it's SIO-wide, it's big. It's students gathering around their flagpoles at their schools and praying. Praying what? Praying for multiple things. They're praying for their school, everything that has, they're praying for their faculty. They're praying for their friends. They're praying that Christ be, well, he be seen and he be heard and he be responded to. They're praying for their community, because the school is an integral part of the community. They're praying for the country, and what better year to be praying for the country but right now, and we're in the midst of a decision. We have to make a decision. To not make a decision is a bad decision. We need to pray. We need to lift up, whether you agree with him or not, our president. We need to pray that he does the right thing. We need to pray that God would show him. And I believe God will. Always. He needs to open his eyes. The theme is awaken. And so with that idea of awaken, it's, well, it's kind of like Lazarus, isn't it? We're going to our friend Lazarus to wake him up. We're going to the school to wake them up. And so they're going to be at the high school. And there's the flagpole right there in the middle. It's awkwardly placed. I don't think that was on purpose, but it's an interesting thing to try to gather around that flagpole. It's kind of like an amoeba. Even more funny is the middle school. And there will be kids there as well. And they're going to gather there. They're going to gather there about an hour before school starts. And they're going to pray. This is a student-led thing. This, you know, Chris, he's going to be probably at the junior high. Okay, he's going to have other adults. And Belinda's going to be there. They're going to be at the junior high. There's going to be some parents at the junior high. But you know what? They're not leading the prayer time. Okay, right now we're equipping the kids how to do this, how to pray. It's a weird thing. I got to stand out in front of my school. Can't we do it here at the church? You know, we have a flagpole. Why can't we just do it here? No, we're doing it there. Why? Because it's visible. Okay? It's saying, I'm taking a stand. I'm going to, well, I'm marking this territory for God. The theme, again, is awaken, and it comes Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, and it's summarized with this. So, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father. For this school, I bow my knees. Do you understand how desperately people in the schools need Jesus? Just as desperate as everybody outside of the school. They're no different. We need to be in there. We can't abandon this post. And so it's time to go in and awaken. And that's what See at the Pole is. And it's a very special thing for me because, again, it was my senior year that was the first one. And I remember gathering together, and I remember looking across, and I remember seeing one particular kid named Stephen. I've shared the story of Stephen. And I looked at Stephen, and my first thought was, you're a Christian? Really? Well, see, during that summer, he got serious about his relationship with Christ, and that See at the Pole was his first visible stand. There's a whole other story to go with Stephen, and if you haven't heard it, I'd gladly share it with you some other time. But students will be gathering at the pole. Why are they going to be gathering at the pole? Because let's face it, praying around the flagpole at your school before the school starts as the school buses are rolling in, that's the cool thing to do. And that's everybody's doing it. So, no, it's going to be a weird thing. But that's okay. They're going to be praying not because of the evil that is in the school or any of these things. No, they're going to pray for what? They're going to pray for change. Real change, not change that's offered by politicians, but change offered by a God. See, C.S. Lewis put it best. He says, I don't pray ever to change God. I pray to change me. And I think too often that's we do enter into prayer, sometimes with the attitude of, I will pray so I will change somebody. And often it's really us who needs to be changed. And the idea is simple. They're going to go, they're going to pray, and when they pray, they will be heard. Which really takes us back into John. That moment Jesus is before the tomb. It says, they rolled away that stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. I know that you hear me. What's important here is that Jesus knows the Father hears him. This moment here implies that Jesus and the Father, Father and Son, they've had this conversation well before he ever got to the tomb. Okay, Lord, Father, we're here. We've talked about this. Let's do this. Jesus approaches this tomb with absolute confidence, not because of who he is, but because he is confident in who the Father is. He knows who the Father is. And because he knows who the Father is, he knows who he is. We can approach it in the same confidence. This confidence is what Jesus taught when he taught his disciples to pray. They said, Lord, teach us. Rabbi, teach us how to pray. I mean, that's your job. You're the rabbi. Teach us how. He says, okay, start this way. Our Father. No. You can't start that way. That's way too personal. You're not being reverent. Come on. What's going on? No, you pray. Our Father. How personal is this? Who approaches the throne this way? Our Father. Did Isaiah approach the throne this way? No. Isaiah 6 says what? He says, there he was before the throne, and he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips amongst a people of unclean lips. He didn't approach the throne with confidence. He approached the throne with fear that he was going to die. God fixed that. Give us daily bread. Who are we to tell God what to do? Give us our daily bread. Forgive us, really. Why should he forgive us? And who are we to say, forgive us? Lead us not into temptation. There's a lot of telling God what to do, it seems like, in that. Well, we got to back up. We skip something. Your will be done. And see, in your will, you will give us exactly what we need. In your will, you forgive us of our trespasses. In your will, you're going to lead us to places like flagpoles and beyond. Ever pray a dangerous prayer? I love talking about dangerous prayers. Dangerous prayers are the prayers that God will answer and will shake up your life. The Lord's Prayer, I know it's kind of, it's become a religious thing for some people. It's a dangerous prayer. Just because of that one brief moment, your will be done. The moment you let go and let God, hang on. James, he tells us that we always ask in faith with no doubting. There can't be any doubting. And we come back to that whole will of God. How do I know that I'm in the will of God? And I will tell you real quick here, if you know how, without a shadow of doubt, to be in the will of God, please write a book, okay? Because the world desperately needs another book on how to be in the will. No, we really don't have it all figured out because we've complicated it too much. What is the will of God? Well, let me break it down simple. What's God's greatest desire? Well, the writer of Romans says that his greatest desire is for men to be saved. Something tells me that if the writer of Romans desires this, I think he's probably in the will of God. Could that be what God's will is? Is that men might be saved? 1 Timothy 4:2. The desire is that all men be what? Saved and come to the truth. So it's not just enough to get them out there and pray, let's save them all and let God sort them out later. No, no, they come to the truth, they learn. We've got to pour into them. The desire to see men come into, and women, people, to come into this right relationship with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we come right back to what Jesus prays here. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that You sent Me. Why are the kids going to gather around the flagpole? That those around them might believe. One time at Sea of the Pole, as far as I'm concerned, that's enough. I'd love to see it happen again. It was a beautiful moment. Group of kids are around the flagpole. They're praying. This kid who, he's poked his head into youth group once or twice, you know, usually game night, come up alongside, what are they doing? Because I was standing off to the side. And I said, well, they're praying. Why? Well, they're praying for the school. Why? They're praying for their friends. Why? And at first I was like, are you just trying to goad me? What's going on? And I said, what do you mean, why? I said, well, why pray? I said, because they believe that God will hear and He will answer. Would He hear me? Yeah. What do you want to say? And I watched this kid come to know Christ and join the circle right at that moment. Because he saw his friends there going, okay, they believe this. Same thing happened at Lazarus' tomb. This is the heart of the will of God, that men might be saved. So where does this take us? We just pray. Let's just do lots of praying. In fact, let's never go out into the world. In fact, let's just sit here and pray. And we don't do anything. We'll let God sort everything out. Let's pray. And that would be a great plan until we ran out of bread. There's not much bread up here. So that won't, you know, and if the little guys get to it, you know, it's gone. No, it's more than just saying, well, okay, I guess I just got to keep praying. Prayer is to be active. In fact, that word always is an active word. It's hard to be active and not going anywhere. It's hard to be doing always and not going anywhere. See, prayer is to be an engaging thing. And so when we come back to this idea, pray without ceasing, it's that we're constantly, actively seeking out prayer. Obviously, prayer can be done anywhere. So I have questions for you in terms of your prayer time. I want to know if these things happen to you, okay? And I'm going to admit to you, everything I'm about to ask you in one way or another probably has, well, I know it has happened to me. Have you ever gone to prayer and just gone completely blank? You're like, okay, I'm going to spend some time in prayer, Lord. And you sit down, you're going to pray, and all of a sudden you're like, what am I supposed to pray for? And you're just blank, you know? And maybe the reason it's just totally blank is because you hold yourself up in, I don't know, my office or something. There are times when this happens, and I'm like, oh, I don't even know what to pray for. You know, what am I supposed to pray? And I know that can be a good thing, because sometimes we need to just be quiet and let God talk. But sometimes it's because I have no focus. I literally am like, huh? So, you know what I do in those times for me personally? This is my thing. I come down those stairs, and I sit right there, and suddenly the Lord reminds me of everything I'm supposed to pray about. Every time, I've never been blank in that seat, in His home. Have you ever fallen asleep in prayer? You know, you waited till the last minute to pray. Again, I told you, you know, some people that's the reason you pray. I don't count sheep, I count prayers. But you know, you fall asleep in prayer. I know some of you are saying, no, Mike, you don't understand. That's just me being deep, deep in the Spirit. And I just want to let you know, I know many of you are deep in the Spirit sometimes on any given Sunday morning. I've watched you. And I know the difference between nodding because you agree with what I'm saying and nodding because you're asleep, okay? You got to be, you do not understand how cruel I can be. And how much reservation I have to hold not to go wake you up, okay? There was one time, I'm not going to name names, but I heard somebody snoring, and I really thought, I'm going to go wake them up. Just so you're all aware, in my office is a box of 5-Hour Energies, if you should ever need it. Have you ever said to someone, I'll pray for you? after they've shared something with you. Or, I'll be praying for you. Don't yawn. I saw. But then you forgot to pray. It's like this, they're going in the hospital for some, it's a routine thing maybe, right? I'll be praying for you. And then the next week you see it, and you're like, oh, that's what I totally forgot to pray for them. And you got that guilt, right, over not praying for them. But what if you just stopped right there? Instead of saying, I'll pray for you, and you can say that. But what about you just pray for them right then and there? It's fun to do. It's fun to see on their face. What do you mean right now? Yeah, why not? Because you're driving. but here's really, here's the deal. I think when it comes to prayer, we can get lazy. It's very easy to get lazy in prayer. It's kind of like communion in a lot of ways. We can get pretty lazy with communion. We think, here we've rearranged communion to do it differently. To be honest, we're doing it the old way, but it's the new way now. But the idea here is that it's active. Communion was never intended to be once a month, first of the month. I can't find that anywhere in the scripture. And it doesn't even say it has to only be on Sunday. In fact, it says every time. And the words that are used there are very active words that we need to seek out communion. Every time we get together, participate in communion. That's the scriptural thing to do. And so we've changed it a little bit to get more active. We, if you will, our communion here now is more of a come and get it. And that's intentional. It's to get you active. Prayer should be active. And this morning, I do want to make sure you understand that my goal is not to make you feel guilty about your prayer life. That's not the goal here this morning. Too many sermons have probably been preached on that very thing, to preach guilt of some spiritual discipline you don't have. That's not what the point is, because quite frankly, I'm not here to change your past. I'm here to talk about what's right now and what's moving forward. So this morning is more about, or I should say not about what was or what used to be in terms of prayer life, but okay, let's do something a little bit different. We're going to do something new, but yet that something new is really something very, very old. So as I shared with you, I'm going to share a little bit of my journey of how this even, really came about. What's interesting here is that I had been spending, before vacation, a considerable amount of time in prayer, and my particular prayer was, Lord, how are we supposed to be making a bigger presence, a bigger impact in the community? Now, I need to make sure you also understand this, that when I come up to preach a message, there have been some of you who have shared with me with smiles on your faces, but you've come and said, man, I really think you were just like nailing me with that one. And I want you to understand, anytime I've ever delivered a message, it's a message just as much for me as it is for you. And so when I talk about prayer, I'm guilty here. But in this case, I've been praying. Lord, how do we have more of an impact in the community? I know there are some people in the community who, if suddenly all the churches disappeared, they would never cry. That's a shame. So what do I do? And so I prayed, Lord, how? This is the answer I got. Pray for the community. Well, yes, Lord, that's what I'm doing. No, that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is praying, how do you do something? I'm telling you what to do. Pray for the community. Okay, Lord, so how do I do that? And I had to ask, how do I pray for the community? So I took a page out of the old school and I went on a prayer walk. I don't know if you're familiar with the term prayer walk. It's a very complex prayer regimen. It consists of you going and walking and praying. It's that simple. And you go, you walk, and maybe you even stop every now and then, but you pray, and you pray as you go along, and you pray everything that you pass by, you pray for, okay, everything. And so I went on a prayer walk. This whole notion of prayer walk, it's like I said, it's nothing new. I'm not going to tell you anything new or revolutionary. In fact, there is nothing new or revolutionary. It's already been perfected. But when it comes to prayer walking. My first experience was at Camp Tadmore, surprise. But it was with my senior counselor. His name was Mark, camp name Little Hawk. And he would take us on these prayer walks at the beginning of each week, the guide counselor. He's my senior counselor. There were 9 guy cabins at the time. And so the idea was simple. We went on a prayer walk. We started on one end of the guy cabins, and we prayed for that cabin. We prayed for that cabin leader. Then we move on to the next one. This was prayer walk, okay? And that's what we did. We prayed for the cabin, the counselor, the kids, everything. And that was prayer walk. I remember one particular Saturday. That's our one day off. We got 20 hours. And so I came, you know, I was there and Mark's there, and he says, "Mike, you want to go on a prayer walk with me?" I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's day off. I got nothing else going on. Let's go for a prayer walk." I'm thinking, you know, but we don't head to the cabins. We're heading out to the main gate of the camp. I'm like, "What is he doing?" You know, and we're not even praying. We're just walking and talking. And then finally we got to the gate. He says, "Okay, we're gonna do this." I'm like, "We're gonna do what?" He says, "We're going on a prayer walk." He says, "I do this every week." I go, "What are you talking about? We did a prayer walk around the camp. The entire perimeter of the camp. It was my entire Saturday, and it was the best Saturday I think I ever had up there. But we prayed over the entire camp. Doug West, my mentor, used to share stories of, as he was part of the missions group at Jefferson Baptist, that they would send pre-teams to go on prayer walks before the team got there to bathe the area in prayer. And so it's just that simple. So I started at the high school, where we started this morning talking about prayer. And so I went to the high school and I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm at the end of town." And so I prayed for the high school, and I prayed for the kids. I prayed for people, you know, like, well, this morning I'm going to have a couple of them help me out. But I prayed for people like Mickey Rushing, who is going to be leading the CEO at the poll there. You know that, right, Mickey? Where are you? So, okay. You know that, right? Okay. So, you do now. Surprise. I prayed. I prayed. You know, we have faculty there. We have staff there. We have friends there, right? I prayed for Lori, because Lori's going to be in there, and she's going to need the prayer because she's in there. But I prayed, you know, and I thought, you know, so I walked around the school, and I came to the football field. I said, you know, very shortly, those stands are going to be full of people, and there's going to be kids out there, and there's going to be injuries, and there's going to be frantic parents, and there's going to be people cheering, and there's going to be an opportunity to be in the community. So I prayed over the football field. I prayed the kids that would be there. We don't pray for the facility. I prayed for the people that will be using it. Then I walked down the street, and I don't know if you can see the logo there in the window. That's the Sayo Youth Club, you know. And so I stopped there. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we got 2 gals who are part of our family that work there. So I prayed for Elizabeth, and I prayed for Amy, and prayed for the impact that they might have with the kids and the families that they work with. Because let's face it, there's a lot of ungratefulness that can come from the Sayo Youth Club. You know, when the one parent is convinced that the coach isn't playing their kid right, and they totally chew them out, or the coach totally chews out the parent, or whatever, just let the kids play. But I prayed for the Sayo Youth Club. I continued walking down. We're just going to kind of go through the town here a little bit, because I stopped at the Homestyle. I've had many, 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 too many patty melts at the Homestyle. But, you know, and they know who I am. I walk in there. They know who I am. They know I'm the pastor. Can you imagine if I walked in there and you made my patty melt wrong? No, I don't have that privilege anymore. It's everything is good. No, it really is. It's the best patty melt I've had in a long time. But no, I prayed. I prayed there. I prayed that, you know, because I also know that some of those guys that work there, I know they love Jesus. I pray that they're servant hearts in their jobs. I pray for the people that gather. I meet there, Mike, Leon, over the, you know, the Christian church. They meet there. I've seen people get saved there over patty melts. And so I prayed also for Mike and Leon down at the Christian church. You pray for the churches, you know, but I stopped and I prayed for them. I continued my walk. There's the market. I prayed for the Cheetos and the Twinkies. And no, I pray for the people that are there. There's a lot of people. But, you know, the beauty is that you're in the Sayo market. I've never been in the Sayo market alone. It's never happened. You always run into somebody, you know. Take a moment, a second. Bank, you know, she's not here this morning, but, you know, Wendy works there, Wendy Cotton. You pray for Wendy. And I wouldn't want to work in a bank. You know, no thanks. Pray for them. Go over to the post office. I get focused. My box is like right inside the door. So I'm like, how fast can I get in, get out? But it doesn't happen too often. But pray for the post office. We just keep walking, right? We've got the covered bridge. I've had some great breakfast with a good friend there, and a lot of different opportunities. The pastors, when we get together for the pastor association, that's where we meet. And we sit there and we pray for our churches, our communities. You go down there, fire department right there. I mean, I got a couple of people that are connected with that here. Every time that siren goes off, and trust me, I hear it. It's across the street from my house. But every time it goes off, I do two things. I pray first off, Lord, be with whoever. Whoever that's because, be with them. And be with my family that's going out to them, because they need it. So we pray. You got Connections Academy. There's people that's part of our community. It's kind of funny. I heard the statistics of how many kids attend school in Scio, Oregon. It's like 5,000, right? And it's because they add those numbers to it. It's kind of weird. I'm like, I don't think there's that many of us. But it's part of the community. Pray for it. We continue down the hardware store. How do you pray for the hardware? You don't pray for the hardware store. You pray for the new owner, right? And you pray for the workers, and you pray for the person that you run into because they're frantically trying to find that piece of pipe because their pipe just broke. You pray for them. Pray for the vet. And as you pray for the vet, you can go across the street, and you can pray for the feed store. And then as you go across the street, you get awkward. Yeah, you pray there too. You pray there too. Because you know what? I mean, I'm not going to talk about, it's not the evils of and all that. No, what you pray is because there are some people who they're tired of trying to find the answer anymore. They've given up. And that's the last stop. I've also heard they have a good burger. And if somebody ever wants to take me and we'll go get a burger, I'll gladly go with you, get a burger. I like burgers. But not meatloaf, burger. But no, pray. You pray that it says take the light where? To the dark places. We don't take the light out in the middle of the sun. People need Jesus there just as much as they need him in all the other places we've seen. Turn around the corner, you got City Hall. We got an acting mayor, soon to be. I know I'm not supposed to get political, right? I don't think I'm supposed to endorse anybody. So I'm just saying, Mr. Wolves in 2012. But pray for that. But you can't be at that building without going to the library, and the impact that can be made there, the relationships that are there. You know what the beauty of those who work in these places is? Is that when they come through the door, suddenly there's a face they know here. From there, there's a connection. Pray those opportunities happen. And of course, we go to the middle school. Pray for the middle school. I've got two kids that I just don't understand how they have such a young father and be in junior high at the same time. I feel so old. But pray for the junior high. And of course, we go down to the elementary school. And we've got faculty in all the schools. You pray for Mr. B. I've seen his class list. Pray for Mr. B. He needs it. But we pray. And that's only on this side of the bridge, right? I mean, you got to cross the bridge. Don't stop. Pray for the auto parts store. Jeff, the owner, is also my landlord. I pray for Jeff. Pray for Jeff a lot. Are any of his brothers here? They know. We pray. But I love Jeff. He's a good man. Across the street from there, you pray for your Clevengers. And, not only the Clevengers, right, but you pray for that redheaded kid who's pumping gas, and you're just really hoping he's not squirting it on everybody, because he talks a little bit, right? Right? And there's others to be praying for, right? I mean, come on. No, we pray. I pray for the telephone company. I pray that the internet prices go down and the speeds go up, but I'm diligently praying for that. But Tom's there. There's other people there. I know he's got some people that work there that they don't believe. They think Tom's kind of weird. I like that. He is. But we pray. And of course, there are a whole lot of places in between all those that I don't have pictures of. Right, I didn't go all Google Earth on you and take pictures of everybody's house, but I walked by a few houses in particular, just going down Main Street. Right, I passed by the Boyds, passed by the kids. I mean, there's houses. There's houses. I don't even know who lives there. I'm gonna pray for them too. Pray for the apartments as I walk by. But we come back, Come back to headquarters. You got to pray for here too. This is one of those areas that we forget. We forget to pray for the church. Got to pray for the church. This is important stuff. So, real quickly, I go on my prayer walk, and then I ask the Lord, okay, so Lord, we did it. What's next? Do it again. No, I'm going on vacation, Lord, so can we put that on pause? And well, we kind of did. You know, I said, I'm going on vacation. And so when I went on vacation, I spent quite a bit of time in prayer there. And again, I told you, I already knew that I was going to come back from vacation and talk about prayer in terms of see you at the pole and really challenge you with this question of, if the junior high and senior high can pray that God would do something in their schools, why can't we pray something that God would do something in our communities? And we need to do that. And so I prayed. I prayed this while standing in the middle of a river, catching no fish, but quite frankly, what better place there can there be but in the middle of a river to pray? Honestly, it's just, you know, there's no falling asleep there. And I prayed. And then I went to church. I went to church last Sunday. Yes, when you're on vacation, you should go to church. I have my bulletin right here. And I like to see proof when people say they went to church. But no, I went to Sisters Community Church. They're a church that's connected with us through the CB, and currently pastoring there. This is a name that some people might find familiar, but Mike Silva is pastoring there. I know that Mike preached here at least one time that he told me about. But Mike's an incredible guy. He's an evangelist. He's one of the, I mean, it's like that is his heart, is to see people come to know Christ. And right now he's there. The church has gone through rough times. I know here we know this, that what it looks like for a church to go through rough times. Sisters Community has gone through some serious rough time. 2 splits in 5 years. That's a split in a split. You know, that's harsh. And Mike's been there for a few months now, they're not even paying him. You know, he's just there to get that church back on its feet. And he's loving the people there. But he preached, and he started preaching about encouraging, and he was going through the book of Colossians. And so this particular week, he was at the end with Colossians 4, and he goes into this list of all the people who send encouragement along with Paul to the church. And so he talks about how we need people to be encouraging one another. It was an incredible message. I loved every bit of it. In fact, I would recommend, just go online, Sisters Community Church. Go listen to them. Yes, it's okay to listen to other pastors. It's not cheating. But go on and listen. It's just a great message. But right in the middle of it all, here's what happens. Because it talks about, you know, all these encouragers that Paul mentions, they're also praying laboriously. And they're praying. And so Mike starts talking about prayer, and particularly starts talking about prayer walking, and a big smile comes on her face, because this was on my heart, and I'm like, oh, this is so good. And so he's talking about it, and I'm like, I'm nudging God at that moment. Hey, Lord, that's what we did. You remember, that's what we did. We went on a prayer walk. We're cool. We prayer walk. And then he talks about how he wants to see this impact in the community. And I'm like, hey, Lord, that's us. Remember, I pray, we're impact in the community. And then he started to share his vision that he saw small teams of, you know, 4 people going out and being in these prayer teams and going on these prayer walks. And before I could nudge the Lord nudged me and says, Mike, that's what I want. That's what I've been trying to get to you. It's not just you go pray for the community, but your people, my people, we need to go and pray for the community. And then Mike then started talking about how he needed somebody, anybody, to come up with some sort of logo and maybe put it on a shirt. And so I did. There's a couple dozen of them heading to their church right now. And in my hopes of being an encouragement to him. But I also have a stack here. Uh-oh, what does that mean? It means I'm looking for some people to do the very same thing. He called it Club Enoch, if you're wondering what that is. Club Enoch. Enoch comes out of Genesis 5. It's a fun story. They're going through all these genealogies. Never skip the genealogies, because every now and then there's just this little tiny thing that gets put in there. And Enoch's one of those things. And Enoch was a good man, and he lived a good life in 360-some years, but he didn't die. It's an incredible thing. It says that he walked with God and never was. Huh? It literally means that he went on a walk with God and just kept walking. I want to be Enoch. I want to just keep on walking. That is so much better than dying. But so the idea is that let's go on a walk with God. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what can we do? And he says, pray. And I kind of turned into that rich young ruler guy. I said, well, I've done that, Lord. Pray some more. Oh, yeah, got that one down. No problem there, Lord. What do we get the people to pray? So here's what we're going to do. And we're going to take some time. I'm going to warn you right now, it's almost noon. So if you need to leave during this time, I'm okay with that. But we're going to do something here. We're going to kind of... Praying with a group of people in odd places can be awkward. Okay? It's not necessarily comfortable for everybody. And if you're not comfortable with that idea, I want you to understand something. It's not because you're not normal. That is the normal. If you're totally comfortable praying in weird places, you're not normal. Welcome. And it's what we should be. We should not be normal, right? So the idea is simple. Groups of people going out and praying and walking through the town, and not just Main Street. You walk through the towns, because see, make sure I get my bearings right. So if you kind of walk that way, you're gonna cross a couple of homes that people were forced out of because the water took them. You pray for them. You walk around another corner, and there's a hair salon that way you can be praying about, right? And you come around another corner, and there's a mayor-to-be that you can be praying for. And you can keep walking all over the place. And you go through all the neighborhoods, and there's that one house. You know that one house? That one house that nobody goes anywhere near except for people at strange hours or something, maybe? You pray for that house too, right? And wherever you are, it doesn't have to be Sio. I know some of you, the next person closest to you is like 5 miles. You can drive to them, then get out and pray. But no, go and pray. Pray through your neighborhoods. It's an awkward thing. And so I thought, the best way to get through something that's awkward is to just do it. And so what I'm going to do this morning, what we're going to finish this morning with is this. We're going to go on a virtual prayer walk, okay, just to get it out of the system. And then you can go from here and do the real thing. Now, I've got a couple of high school students that are going to help me out. So Mickey, if you want to go ahead and come up, and Caleb, if you want to, the microphone, Caleb's right here. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray for this community. If you weren't keeping track, there were 23 places that I showed. So there are going to be 23 slides. I'm looking for 23 different people to pray. I'm not looking for Tom Mask to pray 23 times. Tom did a beautiful job last Sunday. I am so thankful for people like Tom and Dennis that allow me to go take a break. But we're going to go through. We're going to start at the high school. And so, it's weird. I'm going to ask right now, who will pray for the high school? We want you to have the mic because we want to join with you in prayer.
Father God, I come to you for a high school. I know there's a lot of our family members that are part of the staff there, and I know there's a lot of the students that are part of our family. Lord, I know that through the youth program and stuff that's been involved here at the church, there's a lot of kids in that school that have been touched. They may not know you personally yet, but they've been touched. I just ask that you would just anoint that whole situation, that you would empower the students that are there, the ones that... maybe want to stand in the shadows, Father, that you would give them the opportunity to say the right thing at the right time or to make the right decision at the right time, because that can be more powerful than words. We just ask that you would just anoint them, that you would touch them. For the staff that's there, Lord, that has to deal with all the limitations and ramifications of being a public school teacher, even though their heart is heavy for the situation at hand, I just ask that you would hold them up, that you would hold them dear to you, Lord, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have their back, and that we, as part of your family, have their back too. Just ask, Lord, that you would just anoint this school this year, that you would just bless everything that would happen. As they would go out for the different sporting activities, I ask that you would move even then, that they would be able to know that there's something different about the kids from Sio, that there's something different. There's a different level of conduct. There's a different level of camaraderie. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Football game's coming. Already happened, right? Oh, did anybody get, what's the score? Is that us or them? Not a, oh, a lot of more prayer. No, but pray, seriously. Who will pray for Friday nights?
Lord, I just lift up the people that are going to be at them games on Friday nights, God. I just, first, just keep the kids on the field safe. Injury is a big part of that game, and Lord, I just pray that that you just watch over them kids and keep it down, God. And I just lift up the parents and just fans and coaches and refs and everything to keep their competitive side in check a little bit, Lord. Sometimes it gets out of control, but God, I just pray that that you be known somehow. That there's a few kids on the football team that come to our church, Lord, and when they score a touchdown, they'll pray, and Lord, I just pray that. That the people see that and know that that's you. But God, just watch over those Friday nights and be with us, God. Amen.
Around the corner, you got the SIO Youth Club. You got Amy working there. You got Elizabeth working there. We'll pray for the Youth Club.
Lord, just want to pray for the youth club as they enter another school year with the various sports and activities and all the folks that rely on them with after school care and just the many responsibilities they've taken on in that role and with the parents and their travels to and from the club to get kids there safely and back home and the ball teams and their travels and the support from the parents is big, and let's continue to pray for that support with the coaches and the players and all the things they do throughout the year with their auction that rallies the money that they need to continue forward and the various things that they do throughout the year to support those teams and activities, Lord. So let our prayers be with them and with Amy and Elizabeth and the rest of the crew there, and just their continued love they've shown for our kids and how much we love them and just appreciate their efforts, Lord. In your name we pray, amen.
So I know that some of these places that we're about to go to, you're kind of like, how do I pray for that? You know, and if the Lord's leading you, you pray, okay? And don't feel that you have to be super eloquent in your words. You don't. Just pray. So go down the road there and pray for the home style. And maybe you know some of the people that work there. Maybe pray for them by name if you want. But you don't need to pray for the patty melt. It's already perfect. So, who will pray for the home style?
Dear Father, we want to thank you that you've put your children all over this town. And just pray for those of yours that work here and those that visit. Father, help them to shine your light to affect everybody that comes in there, Father. Please use this place to bring glory to your name. Thank you.
How about the church, SIO Christian Church? Pray for them. You can pray for all the churches.
Father, as I think of our brothers and sisters over at the Christian Church, I'm reminded they are our brothers and sisters. We're part of the same body. We're not all of the same mindset, perhaps, on how Scripture is interpreted, but we're all your children. And I know every place you go, they have their own troubles. Lord, I just ask you to ease their burdens. Give them the strength, the health, whatever they need. Lord, be with Mike and Judy as they lead the church. Give them the words to speak to the congregation when they preach. Lord, be with Leon as he reaches the lives of the little ones. and the not so little ones. Father, just bless our church as you have blessed ours. In your son's name.
How about the market? We will pray for the market.
Father, we want to pray for the little hometown market in Sio, and I think of the women that work there. Some of them look like they've had struggles, as we all have, but we just pray, Lord, that you would be evident in everyone that comes into your light, that they would shine that light there at that little grocery store. After Sunday service, we go in there oftentimes and see so many of the family here. And I pray that each of us would be faithful to encourage them and just let your light shine. We pray for their salvation and just for our witness to them and kindness and lightness and just any way we can to show the Lord Jesus to them. In his name we pray. Amen.
You know, one of the things that you can pray, I mean, when talking about businesses, we're a small town. It's hard to keep those things going. You know, I mean, the hardware store, there's struggles. You can be praying. We got the bank. You know, who wants to pray for a bank? Now, somebody pray for Wendy, pray for Jody, you know. Who would pray for the...
Lord, we do to lift up today the people that do work, not only in Sio Bank, Father, but in all the banks throughout the land. Father, help us to continue to lift those people to you, and Father, that they might be able to let your light shine where they stand. Father, we know that things are not going well in a lot of these places, but Father, we know that it is your plan. So Father, just keep these people wrapped with your glory, that you may be seen through them for everything that they do. And we thank you for the workers that you have, like Wendy and the others that you place there. And Father, we just place them all in your hands, in Jesus' name, amen.
Of the post office.
Father, I thank you that we have such a sweet community in Sio. I thank you for our post office, Lord. It's almost like the meeting place. And God, I thank you that we have the opportunity for whether we go there every day for mail or stamps or packages, whatever it is, Lord, I just pray that we as believers would make a difference, and that when we see others, Lord, that we would just experience, Lord, the fact that we know you, and I pray that they would see that in our lives, that there's a difference in us, and God, that it would impact our community, and I pray for the workers there too. Lord, I know that Kathy Cooper is one of those, and I thank you for her as a mail carrier, and I pray that she would have a testimony, and God, that you would be seen in each one of us. God, help us to be friendly, help us to be caring, and I pray that it would be a place that we can be a real testimony for you, and that others would be drawn to you because of it, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. So how about the covered bridge? How many of you have eaten at the covered bridge? Okay.
Father, I just lift up Trish and Terry to you right now as owners of this covered bridge. And Lord, I just have to thank you for their faithfulness in this community, that through bad times and good times, they have been there, Lord. There's times they could have closed their door. And Lord, they haven't. They've just remained faithful. And I just ask that you would bless their business. Lord, that I thank you for the ones that I know that go in there and have shared with them and read their Bible there, so it's very obvious to them both what they're doing and that they've spoken of you to them. And Lord, I just lift up the workers there and just be with each one of them. I especially have to lift up Deb to you, Lord, who through the flood has lost her home, Lord, and through all of it, she's lost her husband this past summer. And I just pray that you would comfort her and just be with her and just be with this business as all the business in this small town, Lord. And I just pray if they don't know you, Lord, that somehow each someone of us could witness enough that they would see you in us. I pray this in your name.
How about the fire department? I mean, like a million hands should be going up on this one. I'm sorry, I'm just gonna say it, you know. Now, Chris, I'm not gonna let you pray because we need to be praying for you as part of what's going on there. You got your hands in there. We had an accident outside our house a couple weeks back, and you know, man came running. He wasn't even on call. He came running barefoot to it. You know.
Father God, Lord, I do lift up the volunteers, Lord, that work through our fire district. And Lord, I look at the new building that's going up down there, facilities for them, Lord. And I ask today, Lord, that you would just put a special blessing upon that building, Lord. And as these men and women go out, not only to save property, Lord, but to save lives too, Lord, just as we are called to do, to go out and save people from the evil ones, Lord, I pray that you would just empower each and every one of them, and especially the ones that know you, Lord, that your light would shine through them, and Lord, as they do their work, Lord, that you would guide them and direct them, and Lord, that things would be done the way that you want them to be done. Lord, and through it all, even through the time when there are lives that are lost and they have to learn to cope and deal with that, Lord, I pray that you would just be there to comfort them and to watch over them, Lord. And may they just learn to call upon you always in your son's name. Amen.
And I would just challenge you. I know many of you already do this. But when that siren goes off, stop. Just stop where you're at. Pray. Connections Academy.
Father, we just pray for this organization. I know there's a lot of people that don't know what this organization is about, that it's a small town facility that facilitates education for K through 12 students throughout the state of Oregon via the internet. And Father, it influences probably this year close to 4,000 students from border to border, east to west, north to south. And Father, we just ask for your blessing on the staff that runs this facility. There are times that they held meetings here within our community, and Father, we just ask that at those times, opportunities are there that can be used for your glory and for furthering of your kingdom. And this we ask in your son's name. Amen.
About the hardware store. Have you ever had to buy that one little thing and thought, wow, at least I don't have to go all the way to Home Depot? You know? We'll pray for the hardware store.
Dear Lord, I just want to lift up our little hardware store here in town. And I know that it's got to be tough to own a small business in this town and to make enough profit to stay open, to keep their doors open, Lord. And I just ask that you cover that business and you draw people in, and that you may be talked about in there, and that people may be open. And when they're having a cup of coffee or maybe one of the cookies that they leave out sometimes, that maybe you'll be discussed, Lord. And I just ask that you watch over that, and we ask this in your name.
How about our vet? I know it's like, that's Anna. Oh, there we go. We got animals. We got I know we got animal lovers here. I see your Facebook posts. So you can only take so many kitten pictures. Come on. No, but pray for the vet.
Heavenly Father, I just ask that you bless this business in town. I ask you to be with the vet and be with the workers. Lord, I've personally used this vet, and she has a heart for the animals. And she's helped us so many times, and I just want to thank you so much for that. She has way more wisdom than I could ever have, Lord, and I just ask you to encourage them. And I'm sure there's many other members of our congregation that use this vet, and just let us be a light for them, Lord. And this I ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
How about the feed store?
Father, I just want to pray for the owners of the feed store, for Audie and Marion, for the guys that work there, Larry and Cody. Just, I don't know how whether they know you or not, but Lord, if they do, help them to be brighter lights shining for you. If they don't, help those of us that go in there so often to be lights for you so that we can make the feed store be a Christian feed store, for lack of a better term. Lord, just be with them, be with all of us that use that. Thank you so much for the businesses you've put in this community. I pray that they will not have so much struggle, even though the economy's not so great. I pray these things in your name. Amen.
You knew it was coming. What we'll pray for?
Father, we do pray for the silver dollar. Father, we just pray for those that are in there. Father, I just know that the reasons they are there are numerous. Sometimes it's because of things that have happened to them. Sometimes it's because of things that they just think might have happened to them. Father, I just ask that each one of them would be blessed. Father, that your heart would just be made known to them. And that, Father, that this place would not be just a party place, but, Father, like the pastor said, they serve good hamburgers. Father, if we go in there, shine your light through us. Keep your candle burning brightly that they might be able to see you. And that only you would be through there. And, Father, we just ask for all of the blessings in the world come down from you for all of the people that are hurting. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
City Hall. Brandon?
Father, we just come to you and lift up City Hall to you. Father, I just first want to bring Earl Wilson, just be with him as he works with the city council and as acting mayor. And I just pray that you would equip him to really be an example for you and to just encourage those who are Christians in the midst of those who work in City Hall, that they would learn and grow in you because of him, Lord, and also that he would be a light to those who don't know you, Father. And I also pray for all the councilmen and all those who work at City Hall, Lord, that you would just be with them and draw them to you, Father. Those who are not, those who do not know you, Father, and those who do, I just pray that they would continue to walk in you and to be an example in the work field that they're working in, Lord. And I also want to pray for Dean Ferguson as he's still recovering, Father, and just continue to be with him and to really encourage him and comfort him during this hard time that he's going through. And Father, I just pray for the city council and for the acting mayor who have to make tough decisions about the city ordinances and different things that they do. And I just pray that you would give them the wisdom to make the best choices and to just carry out the work the way that you'd want it done, Father. I just pray this in your name.